Tonight, our devotion is entitled, Remember the Sabbath, and we have four thoughts. Come in thanksgiving, verse 1 to 3. Come personally, verse 4 to 6. Come despite opposition, verse 7 to 11. Come and be richly blessed of God, verse 12 to 15. The Bible says in Genesis 2:2, when God finished creating the universe, in particular planet Earth, populating it with life, all manner of fish, birds, beasts, cattle, and all manner of herb-bearing seed and fruit-yielding trees, and created man in God's image to have dominion over his creation. The Lord says, the Bible tells us, and on the seventh day, Moses recorded, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. The word rest is the word Shabbat or Sabbath, where we saw God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart, consecrate, made holy, made sacred that day. What was the reason? Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You see, it's very significant that there is a time of work and there is also a time of rest. And if you look at the creation week, 6 days, what wonderful work was wrought, was done, that God created in that 6 days. And in the seventh day, when he rested, he was able to look back and see the wonders of the creation that he had wrought. And it is the same for us. As a child of God, as a man of God, God has redeemed us, and we are special in the sight of God. He put his Spirit in us. And the work that he does through us is significant. And the Lord wants us to know that his Spirit worked in and through us, and that the work we do on earth for his name's sake is most significant. And therefore, he has ordered that after you have done the work that he has appointed for you to do 6 days, you are to look, in a sense, back and rest for all that has been done in the name of our triune God, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the good work that God has enabled you. And so the Lord wants us to understand and know concerning why he appointed that day. And when he created the nation of Israel, this morning we were studying that, repeatedly the Lord instructed that the nation of Israel is to follow the fourth commandment, to keep, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And until that time, the nations of the world do not understand and know of a day of rest, the Sabbath. All the heathen nations couldn't understand, and Israel could not understand when they were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. In fact, they worked 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, as it were. No day, no night, we said. That was life. Before we have been redeemed, before God saved us, there is not a proper order in our lives. And as it were, We work ourselves to death. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is a day appointed for life, you see. And that's why the penalty that was given for breaking the Sabbath day was the death penalty, capital punishment. Why so severe? Because if you fail that, then it's death for you. Right? How can a person work 6 days or work without rest for prolonged periods of time? And so God had appointed and mandated that day of rest. Remember the Sabbath day, Exodus 20 verse 8 says, to keep it holy, keep it sacred. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath or the rest of the Lord thy God. And so there is a significance in that rest. It's unto the Lord. For all the work that God has appointed for us to do, well, a day will come when we rest from our labor, as it were. We enter into eternal rest. And, you know, when God created that nation, God said to them that you will not work, not your sons, not your daughter, not your manservant, not your maidservant, not even your cattle, not your strangers that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, set apart as holy. And the Lord wants us to understand that significance. So in the new covenant that Christ established at his resurrection, he has appointed that on the Lord's day, the day of the resurrection, that we would come into his house to rest, in the sense that rest from our labors, in our worship of him, as we look and reorientate our lives. The Lord wants us to understand this Christian Sabbath that replaced the Jewish Sabbath day as the holy day. It's a day of rest and worship. And this is the first day of the week that we come to remember the Lord. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism most succinctly gives this expression of faith in the English language. It says, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. So, on that day, what do? We remember the Lord. We remember the source of our blessings, his kindness toward us, his blessings toward us, how he has saved us for all eternity. Right? Israel was to set a feast, the Lord says to Israel. 3 times a year, they are to come together. 3 times a year, beginning of the year, to remember how they were freed from the bondage of slavery. And at the end of the year, to stay in tents, to remember how, right, they didn't have a home before God gave them the land, before they were in their comfortable home. What was it like? Well, the Lord wanted them to remember, not forget. And so 3 feasts were appointed, but the Sabbath day was a more intensive or more intense one. Right? Every 6 days was the seventh day of rest. Why? Well, because that's where we would find strength, renewal for life. Psalm 92 is the only psalm written for the Christian to delight in the Sabbath. And our text tells us in verse from 1 to 3, come in thanksgiving. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, and upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. So here, the psalmist tells us, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Remember on the sixth day, God saw his creation and pronounced it very good. Why did the psalmist say it is good? I believe that it is because God has created his representative. We are his representative. We are the only creature that bears the image of God. And we are the only creature out of all the creatures that God has created that has an appreciation of him, because we are created in his image and likeness. And we are the one that has been given the privilege of dominion. Dominion over all of God's creation. And that dominion, well, is not just a rule, but it is to enjoy the creation that God has created. Right? We are the only creatures that know how to appreciate the beautiful mountain, the sea, even the animals that God had created. Right? We are able to appreciate beauty. Right? We are the only ones. And the Lord wants us to understand our special privilege and position before God. If we will not praise him, what would praise him? Right? God has given to us that breath, and he has redeemed us. Right? Israel is to praise God because God has taken them out of the bondage of slavery. And for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has saved us from the bondage of sin, that we can say for sure, right, that because Christ had justified us, therefore, right, we have peace with God, and that we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. We know where we are going. Life for us has a beautiful purpose. And therefore, the psalmist says, I come to God to sing praises to his name, this God, the God of the Most High God. And here we see the reason why the psalmist comes in thanksgiving. He says, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning, to remember our Lord Jesus' love for us, and his faithfulness, to remember his unfailing care upon us. His faithfulness. He is faithful to care for us even when we are unfaithful. Every day, every morning, every night, how should we not praise him? And how should we praise him? Verse 3 says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. So the psalmist begins with a call to come in thanksgiving, in grateful acknowledgement of all that God, all the good that God we have received from the Most High God, and therefore it is good to give thanks to him by setting the Sabbath aside as a day of rest and worship. And the Lord wants us to free ourselves from the work. If we will not free ourselves, and God will not mandate that freedom, that liberty that God has given to us, and we would abuse it. That's what happened to Israel. They abused it, right? Out of the Sabbath day, the Lord also gave the Sabbath land law. 6 days, 6 years you would till your land. On the seventh year, you will not till your land. On the seventh year, you will let the land go fallow. And the book of Leviticus tells us that God will provide for you for the 6 year, for the 7th year, for the 8th year, so that when the crop will come later on, after the 8th year, yeah, you know that you have a God who will not fail you. And why does God mandate this? So that we would be dependent on Him. Not depend on our own strength, not depend on our own wisdom, not depend on our own might. Because when we do so, we are going to break down. And that's sad, isn't it? The Lord doesn't want us to go that way. And therefore, He made a way for us. He mandated it. And that is why Israel had to be deported out of the land for 70 years, because they were, from Exodus to the Babylonian captivity, they missed 70 times of the 7th year of rest for the land. Right? That means they have not remembered the Lord, nor the goodness that He has bestowed upon them during that whole period of time. And it's easy for us, to having received good from God, forget the source of our goodness. It's easy. And the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. And so here, the Lord wants us to come to Him. And oftentimes when we come to God on the first day of the week, we come with many burdens in our hearts. Heavy. The mind is heavy. The heart is heavy. And so when we come before God, what do we come with? All our worries, right? And what do we do when we come before God? Well, we worship Him. And then what is it that He gives to us in return? His wisdom, His peace, so that we have strength to have the wisdom how to solve our problems, how to move on. And that is where it makes all the difference. So we have a dear brother who remembered visiting his home some years ago, met his parents, especially the father. Father has gone home with the Lord a number of years ago. But he testified. He says, before I came to Jesus and become a Christian, I worked 7 days a week, no rest. But after I came to know Jesus, I do not work on the Lord's day, but go to church to remember Jesus. And his friend said to him, so foolish, you will lose 1 day of income. And his father, now already with the Lord, testified, but the Lord blessed me and I earned more in the 6 days than the 7 days I work. Well, the Lord proved it to Israel in the wilderness, right? The manna would come in a double portion on the 6th day. And Israel is asked to collect a double portion on the 6th day so that they would not have to collect their portion of the manna on the 7th day. And on the 7th day, no manna. They went out to see no manna. It was an appointed day of rest. Same for the Sabbath year. They are to trust the Lord, you see. Right? For us, if we see that you have to work with your hands and you have to see with your eyes before you can trust God, chances are that, you know, I would still want to work on the Sabbath day. I would still want to carry on because I need to see. Right? I cannot trust God to provide for me when I don't see.
That's sad, right? That's not faith. The Lord wants us to be able to see the invisible God, the one who is truly providing for us, you see. And the nations of the world don't understand this concept. In fact, the Romans understood this concept of the Sabbath from the Jewish Bible, the Jewish Old Testament. That's how they have understood the day of rest. In the heathen world, no such thing. And so here, when Israel was in the wilderness, God gave them a double portion of the manna on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day, they need not go to gather food. So this is the same God that we worship. He was faithful then, He will be faithful now to you, to take care of you. And Jesus has kept you safe through the week. And you want to come on the Lord's Day to thank Him, to remember and to honor Him. And so, here we said, come in thanksgiving. And come, verse 4 to 6, personally. You can't come to God by proxy. You can attend certain meetings by proxy. You sign a form and said, okay, you go on my behalf. But the worship of God, blessings from God, not by proxy. You have to come personally. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works, and my thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Come personally with your thanksgiving of the Lord's goodness in your life. The Lord, right? The Lord speaks of a personal relationship that the psalmist has with his God. He has made him glad. You have tasted of the goodness of God, you know, wow, God is very good. His loving kindness endureth forever. And so the Lord wants us to understand and learn, and He has made us glad. And coming to Him personally to remember all that God has done for us. A foolish man, described here as a brute beast, not better than an animal. One who does not know God will not understand the worth of what we are doing. And that's why Israel is asked to build the tabernacle and later on the temple. And for us, we are asked to gather for worship. Why? As a testimony to the living and true God, invisible and yet real. Right? Taking care of us. Our livelihood is from Him. So if our livelihood is from Him, why are we running away from Him? Right? God forbid that we do. This should not be. But we ought to. Right? The Lord tells us, come to Him, right, personally. Come with a thanksgiving. And come despite opposition. When the wicked spring as a grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they should be destroyed. They shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thy enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall be exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The hymn writer Isaac Watts gave a good summary of this portion when he wrote, when as the grass the wicked grow, when sinners flourish here below, then is there endless ruin nigh, but thou, O Lord, art enthroned on high. My foes shall fall before thy might. The wicked shall be put to flight. This world seems to be moving toward self-destruction. And we try in vain to warn them of the perils. Right? There was this writer who said, out of all the thousands of years of human history, how many years without war? Few hundred. And what happens during that time? They were all reloading for the next war. Right? And so you see conflict. And you know, the Chinese character for me right, is a man holding a dagger or a weapon, right? Yeah. Whether to defend himself or whether to be the aggressor. And so, no peace. And it's interesting that the word for righteousness, right, it has the lamb that is over me, the man with the dagger. Right? How can we find peace with God or find peace for our life? In Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, we see here that all the world seem to be in trouble. It does not acknowledge the living and true God. Man seems to be becoming more and more sophisticated with his inventions. But if you look at one volcanic eruption, right, it can cause great turmoil. I remember going to the Philippines and we were visiting the place near the Mayan volcano, the most active volcano in the world. And we were brought to visit a Christian village. It was a Christian church buried underneath the volcano. And so this missionary family who was living at the foot, as it were, of the Mayan. Well, every day you look up, you see the Mayan. When is it going to erupt? When is it going to roar? When it roars, you know, wow, the fury is terrible. The lava will come and it fills up and that's it. And what were they doing? Well, they were there trying to minister to the people in the police force, in the army, giving the gospel to the recruits, praying that one of them would become law enforcers, Christian law enforcers, in righteousness, that there would be hope for the nation. Here, men with God has a purpose for life. And so the Lord tells us, the believer who trusts in God will be cared for by the Almighty God himself. And he's contrasted with the self-sufficient man who will not flourish. And the word iniquity is the root word crooked, a crooked life. His presence and his dominion is as grass. Right? We think that we are clever. We do this, but no, we are not that clever. Right? It is needful that we surrender ourselves to God. He is the only one that we can safely follow and find rest and peace and find spiritual prosperity for our life. The exhorting horn speaks of God's favor for us in our lives. And the horn is a symbol of power, strength. We will yet triumph through Christ while the wicked cut off. The unicorn or the ox is prized for its great strength. Not our way, but God's way, as Jesus did in his first coming as a suffering servant. He gave the laws, he explained the laws, he did the good. But what did they do in return? Well, they crucified him. That is who we are. But we thank God that God provided that solution himself. God himself has to come and reckon with us, or to be reckoned for us, to face that reckoning for us. That's the life of Christ, you see. If he had not come, we have no hope. Only because he had come. The anointing oil is spiritual refreshing that God gives to us to continue on this pilgrim journey to our eternal rest. Come, our last thought, verse 12 to 15, and be richly blessed of God. The righteous shall flourish, verse 12 says, like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness with him. When we faithfully worship our Lord Jesus Christ and remember him on the Sabbath, he will bless us in ways we cannot imagine. Here we are speaking of spiritual blessings, though it does not preclude physical blessings. Verse 14 is a promise that you will still bring forth spiritual fruit in old age. Love, joy, peace, and you shall be spiritually healthy and prospering. You see, life with God is wonderful, you know. Although the physical man may perish and become weaker and weaker, but the inner man, right, will become stronger and stronger. This is that life with God. And the Lord is that rock, signifying the stability and safety in the midst of turmoil. You find shelter, you find protection in times of danger. The Lord is upright. The word there means straight. No twisting and turning. Right? God, with God, you can be very assured, you know, of his help for you. No twisting and turning, but totally trustworthy, honest, most reliable companion. Why so? Well, to testify of the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ in our life, so that others who see will ask, who is this God that you worship? Who is this God that you worship? Can you introduce to me? How come you seem to have a solution to life? Well, this is life with God. There is that strength that God gives to you that passes all understanding. The blessing of God, God's children, who honor him by setting aside the Lord's Day for spiritual and physical rest and worship, must be experienced. You have to experience it yourself. You have to experience that rest with God. You have to experience life with God. May we too experience the delight of the Sabbath as we look for the eternal Sabbath where we will ever be with the Lord of eternal rest. May the Lord help us. But let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy. Grant to us thy grace to follow thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.